sop it up!
Hi, and welcome to another edition of Comedia Go-Go's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we are happy campers, Regan, to be talking about what today?
Three wonderful topics. Topic number one, does extreme fictional violence disturb you? Do you feel there is a correlation to real violence? Topic number two, what is your earliest memory? Think back hard. And topic number three, tell us about your best and or worst job interview experience. Did you get the job?
And we are pleased as punch to have returning guests.
Woo.
Soup soppers.
Soup soppers.
Members of the Alamo Beard Club. Andy Deal and Tyler Lutz, how are you guys doing today?
Doing good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're happy.
Pretty good.
Well, fucking A, okay, you are.
Yeah.
Now you're drinking
Andrew Deal.
So we're drinking fancy beer.
Yeah, I'm drinking a Modus Operandi.
Modus Operandi.
A little play on words there.
I like that.
From, what is it, Ska Brewing in Durango, Colorado.
Well, there it is. Modus.
I like it.
Hopperandi. I think this episode is going to be filled with beer God puns. I'm really looking
Rolling
forward
R's.
To it. And what are you drinking?
This one's sold out from Freetail here in San Antonio.
Is there any left?
Yeah, you want some?
Oh, I thought they were sold out.
Oh, I see what you did.
Oh. Let me finish my Lone Star, and then you can fill my can, empty can of Lone Star. With some of that, I would definitely like some. And so, Alamo Beard Club, what's been going on lately? What's new?
Can you explain that soup comment?
Soup soppers?
Soup soppers.
What does that mean?
Oh, okay. All right. So we
Should I be offended? Right.
No.
You asked for it.
You did.
You asked for it.
We had we all went to SAC together, and we had a certain teacher. God rest his soul. He's still alive, right?
He's still alive.
Yeah, but still, his soul needs to rest.
He's still alive and teaching how to edit on reel to reel.
Reel to reel. You guys don't know shit about dick. Analog, man, that's talk, where it is.
Just imagine a film teacher who was just like an old like Texas guy, right? He taught film appreciation. He talked a bit with the commercial business class we took together.
That's a good class.
A student, a pan-racial student, a friend of ours, Nicole, comes in like a Chinese dress, like an Oriental style dress, and he cracked himself up because as soon as she walked in, he goes, "Hey, what are you eating for lunch? Chop suey?" And he died laughing. And so he had this
super appropriate.
Yeah, like, we're like, wow. Yeah. Okay, she was really offended. And so he had this big, thick mustache, like the security guard from today's special.
Yeah.
None of you. Do you get that reference from Nickelodeon?
No.
Not at all. Okay.
Yeah, just Ken Oberman.
Yeah. Just like a big man's mustache. And we used to do this impression of him. And we had this sketch back in the day, Comedia Go-Go. So we changed his name to Jerry Jacket. Because we're clever, you know. And he was hitting on a girl. And she's like, "I don't know. I don't think I want to date you. You got to think. Mustache." He goes, "Baby, I grew this mustache for two reasons: sopping soup and sopping pussy." And he said it just like that to purposely make people skin crawl.
Is that when I did the chainsaw going down?
The chainsaw blowjob?
The chainsaw blowjob.
Yes. We're starting off dirty.
I think it was a dating show.
It was a dating show. That's
he was
right.
a contestant. He so was he a was
That's right. He was one of the contestants. So.
It was a chainsaw BJ.
I've always thought the word pussy is a gross word. I can't even say it.
Especially when it has sopping in front of it.
When you say it like that.
Sopping pussy.
Over a PA.
That came from
an intimate.
Right in your ear. So if you're listening to this in headphones, pussy. God. So, like, I went to Reverend Horton Heat show and Nashville Pussy. This is true. And Nashville Pussy opened up for Reverend Horton Heat. Nashville Pussy is a fucking good band. They're an awesome band. It was and Tiger Army, too, right? It's years and years ago. And Reverend, you know, was during his intermission, and he's like, "I want y'all to give it up for our opening acts. Give it up for Tiger Army." Fucking crowd went nuts. But then he says, "And give it up for Nashville. Pussy. And the guys were like, yeah! And all the girls were like, oh, you felt everyone's skin crawl because it's such a dirty fucking word.
When you say it like that.
Well, he's a reverend. He can say whatever he wants. So, so soup soppers. That's the facial hair. I'm a soup sopper myself.
Yeah. Thank you.
Pussy sopper, too.
That's what he means when he says
soup soppers.
Soup and soup.
So, yes, facial hair. Lots of facial hair.
We sop.
So, question, because I'm a new beard guy, you know. I've had the beard maybe like a year or two, but mm-hmm. this long is probably the longest I've mm-hmm. ever had it for. BeardCon,
right?
Mm-hmm. 2015,
yeah,
which just happened in April 4th, the 502 part. How can you tell the difference between pubes and beard hair?
Oh man.
The length for these guys, obviously.
And taste.
There you go. Yes. It tastes like barbecue sauce. It's a beard.
It tastes like soup.
If it tastes like tartar sauce.
Boy, you've been sopping.
You've been sopping, ain't you?
I can smell it on you.
You have no idea how much I play that joke on Chrissy, my girlfriend.
What, pubes?
Pulling the beard hair out and just like placing it on her shoulder.
Oh, God. pubes, and she gets it by now, right? Because
she still finds it disgusting.
That's good. That's nice in a way. Yeah. I don't know why
she
I
still
think
respects
good.
It.
Yeah, that's good. That, and that just proves hasn't lost its fun. Yeah.
That you're not it's not Brazilian. Way to go. If it could still fool her, that the beard here. Anyway, so yeah, that's my big
it
problem.
It gets her sopping wet.
Yeah, it does.
That's right. Ladies love it. So,
ladies love guys' pubes.
They love pubes,
man. Just chicks on Pinterest, just pubes.
You know what
guys
it is?
Pubes.
It's because
guys' pubes. Because
they can't grow real mustaches, so that's the closest thing they can have to having hair on their lips.
I don't know. You've been to the South Side?
Not that one. I'm talking about soup soppers.
No, we should have a muffstache category.
We should have them, girls showing their bushes?
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
That'll fly.
And coming up next, we have
we'll get the judges to sop it up.
Yeah. I mean, do it like the whole kitty cat thing where you hold the cat up to your face or it's a fake beard, but you hold up like a muff.
A vagina?
Yeah. <a little face. laughs>
The judges could do that. I'm just a host. Yeah. I can't have that.
I can't tell where Larry ends and she begins.
It's all fun and games until you get Mari Elizondo. Freaking graduate of 1997.
A split in my face.
She put on a little weight since she graduated from Highlands back in 97. Yeah. But she's not afraid to show off her muff.
Yeah, it's like, oh, your cesarean looks like it's frowning.
No, you can't even... You can't even see her. Her cesarean.
But when she's on her hands,
the folds go down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It looks like a melted stretch. Ice cream cone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Andy and Tyler. It started off like that. Just fucking terrible.
Yeah, so it's a charity.
I was just about to say, so what nonprofit are you guys helping out?
What is it? What are we helping out this year? Please be totally inappropriate.
Charity, let's do a calendar with mustache.
Fucking BushCon. Let's have BushCon at like the All strip Stars. Club. Yeah. Oh, what a great idea.
That'd be tough. Having
BushCon.
Yeah.
Whoever wins really loses.
Yeah. I don't know if they make a big donation to Locks for Love. Or...
See, there's something for everybody. Everybody wins, right?
No?
Oh, man.
So... What charity are we donating to this year? Because last year was Wounded Warriors, right?
Yeah, last year was Wounded Warriors. This year, it's all the proceeds are going to San Anto Cultural Arts.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
great charity.
Maybe,
awesome folks.
Maybe BushCon will work then.
Yeah, maybe artsy spin on it.
Artsy chicks.
It'd probably make more money.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive it would make.
I'm sure there's a bunch of just chain smoking
perverts in trench coats just donating $100 bills and shit.
I'd like to see contestant 4 one more time.
You can have Beard Con at All Stars or at SeaWorld in the wave pool. God, because, yeah, dude. Ever been to, like, SeaWorld?
No.
Yeah.
Years ago.
When people travel from out the outskirts of Texas to, like, go to SeaWorld as their thing, they'll put on bikinis. And, like, I remember I was, you know, one of the topics coming up.
Memory?
No, it's not my. Thank God it's not my earliest memory. Put a bikini bottom right in the middle of Andy's chin.
Oh, so you saw some.
No, to the sides. No, it was hanging off to the sides the way you had it. Literally, like, like that. That's how this woman was at the Lazy River. And I was like, Mom, do only lazy people go on this river that aren't willing to trim?
Oh, shit.
Like, yeah, she looked like fuck. Like
someone
Andy's
spilled
beard.
Hair down her leg.
Exactly. Yeah, she looked like a jellyfish. Like her vagina looked like
more like a jellyfish. Man of war.
Yeah. So, BeardCon helps out the San Anto Cultural Arts.
San Anto Cultural Arts, yes, sir. This will be our fourth year doing the competition.
Yeah.
We still barely know what we're doing.
So that's okay. That's all right. Okay, so how does somebody donate? How does somebody enter? It's because it's a contest, right?
Yeah.
Right. So if somebody, a listener, wants to enter, what do they have to do?
So if you look up Alamo Beard Club, most of the stuff's through Facebook, but you can look up Twitter and the .com site. We have Eventbrite tickets that are available for pre-sale. We'll use those sales to do pre-registration. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a company called Facial Hair League run the competition this year. So they'll be having a judging app it's a mobile app where all the contestants can register. They have their own profile that they can load up and the spectators are going to be able to help vote for
that's
the competition.
So cool.
The judges will have like the primary votes, but tiebreakers, best of show, that type of
crowd
stuff.
Crowd favorite.
That's all going to be done through the app.
That's awesome.
So that's really cool. The contestants and the spectators really, you know, should look up the Facial Hair League.
Yeah.
And get registered through that. But you know, get tickets through the Eventbrite.
Absolutely.
You can get tickets.
How much are tickets?
Tickets right now are $15.
Cool.
Yeah, to compete, and $5 as a spectator.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, it's not just limited to men, right?
No, not at all. It's men and then the ladies' creative category.
That's awesome.
So it's a creative beard, whatever material they want, whatever they want to do, just as long as they can get it onto their face or close to their face.
It's my motto.
And we also have a special category for Air Force.
Yeah.
Who they participated in Mustache March, I believe is what it's called.
Okay.
So they usually don't get to grow facial hair. So during the month of March, they get to grow out a mustache that's very – there's some rules.
High and tight,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a category for them as well.
Wow, that's nice. Awesome. And there's an on-leave category too, right?
That's the same. So that would
be – Oh, it's the same
this
thing.
Is okay. Taking place of that.
So, oh, okay. Yeah. Awesome. So $5 to be a spectator, $15 to enter. And I hosted it last year. I'm honored and lucky to host it again this year. Guys, if you're out there – there's categories like 6 inches and higher, below 6 inches, mustaches, right?
Goatee.
Is
right?
there a goatee?
Yeah, partial beard.
So it's all facial hair. So don't think that you need a giant beard like you see.
Under 6 inches is kind of misleading because it's like the whole male thing. Like,
right. Yeah. It's like,
but it's everybody's been lied to what 6 inches is or what?
It's not the size.
It's not the size of the beard. It's the it's the size. Yeah. So and be creative. You're we'd like you to dress up because it is like, you know, like a Comic-Con, right? Like we want to dress up. Like, do you have any plans for what you guys are going to dress up, or is that going to be a surprise?
A surprise.
Yeah, that's what I like it.
Yeah.
I get told I look like a certain somebody a lot. And so I think that that's what I'm going to rock this year.
Yeah, Manu Ginobili.
Yeah. Because we've seen his beard. No, I'll go as a System of a Down. No, I'm kidding. I think I might rock a Captain Spaulding this year.
That'd be amazing.
So I think it'll be fine. I just can't do the Captain Spaulding voice. I'll just be like, yeah, fucking.
Yeah. Oh, can I get your autograph?
Oh,
yeah. Like a Comic Con?
This guy thought I was Sid Haig. Yeah. This guy really did.
He was like, oh, man, can I take a picture with you? And we were taking pictures because I was. I was Captain Spaulding. Jess was
a box of Fight Milk from I Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, yes. And then Regan was from World's End. What was his name?
Andy. Well,
Andy from World's End, but it's
Nick Frost.
Nick Frost.
Right. So people were taking pictures that got what we were. So this guy was like, "Yo, can I take a picture with you, man?" I was like, "Sure, dude." You know, took a picture. He's like, "I just want to say, man, House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects were really good movies." I'm like, "Yeah, they're fucking really good movies." I was like, "House, man, not so bad, but Devil's Rejects is good, right?" And he goes, "Well, yeah, man, but I just, you know, your work's really awesome. I'm even looking at your old stuff, and I'm just like, oh man, because Sid Haig's not a good looking guy." I think that's what it is more than anything.
Super creepy.
It's you know. Yeah, so fuck you, man. Take a picture with you, goddamn.
That guy, he's got it on his wall and everything.
Yeah.
Or he put it on his Facebook.
Totally.
He's and like, he said, me and House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, Sid Haig.
Check out who I made.
Yeah, me and Devil's Rejects.
I made Rob Zombie's guy.
It's a picture of me and Korn.
So... I'm excited about BeardCon. I know everyone else is excited about BeardCon.
Always a blast.
April 4th, 502 Bar, Embassy Theaters. They can go to Eventbrite, pre-purchase the tickets, and it's going to be fucking Bostonaka.
And that's not all you're doing for us, though, too.
No. Thank you. What else am I doing?
You will be our host for the King William's Fair.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing the most festive beard. It's basically the hats that they decorate every year, but on your face.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hats on your face.
All right.
Now this one's open to families, right?
Yes, this is a family event, so you'll have to tone it down a bit. But
no, absolutely. No.
Let's see some bush. Stop it up.
But yeah, no, it's only one category, and it's going to be open to kids, ladies, and men.
Oh, how fun.
And we're going to have decorations at our booth. We're going to have face painters, courtesy of Beyond the Canvas.
That's awesome.
Oh, nice. At our booth.
Yeah.
And we're actually going to be in the parade that year.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. The kids are looking forward to it. I'm already planning some stuff for Gunner. For his beard, it's going to be pretty sweet. He'll look just like his dad.
Poor dad.
Not me. Like,
his real dad.
His real dad.
His biological father.
His white father.
James Kennedy.
I was thinking Brant. I don't think he looks just like Brant. So, awesome. Yeah. When is Kingdoms April 25th?
April 25th. Of course, the parade, if you're going to be in that, is going to be about 8:30 for everybody to assemble. But the competition will be at 12:30
Cool.
At the Julia's Veranda stage.
Right.
Next to the craft brew.
Yeah, right next, of course, next to the craft brew.
The King Williams Fair is my favorite Fiesta event. I mean, Fiesta's gotten pretty weird lately, but King Williams has still stayed cool. And the parade's really fun. Guys, check out Alamo Beard Club. I'll be walking the parade with them, and it will be a blast. Come with your beards April 4th to 502 Bar. And if you can't find a sitter that night and want to take the kids, come to King William Fair or do both.
Yeah. And after the King Williams Fair at night, go to Night and Pinch ASA
at
River Center Mall for our badass sketch show.
Yeah. So
fun Fiesta show.
Fun Fiesta show. Where beards are welcome. Bring your festive beards to the River Center Comedy Club and fuck shit up.
Get berated by comics.
Yeah. Well, I have a beard, right? Nice beard, fang.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, guys, thanks for joining us again. This is going to be a lot of fun. Let's sop this up.
Sop it up.
Hopping pussy. With pun. Fuck. All right. Shit.
Jess.
Hey.
What the hell, man?
Hey, man. It's time for another edition of Yeah, I'm gonna look into that. A segment where I talk about the latest in movies and video games, and hopefully it incurs an enthusiastic reaction from friends and listeners that sounds like, yeah, I'm gonna look into that. So, this week, talking about the game Hotline Miami 2 is a sequel to Hotline Miami, which I talked about last year on the podcast. It is a top-down overhead shooter
that has a very pixel art look and is extremely violent. And the synopsis of the original game was that there was a man, the fan base has named him Jacket because he's wearing like a Letterman jacket. He gets mysterious phone messages left on his answering machine that tell him to go to pre-designated areas, and when he shows up, he just murders a bunch of people. Man. And most of the times, they're criminals and thugs, and then he ends up toppling over a Russian mafia in the process of all this.
You know how that happens.
You know how that happens. All while wearing masks of different animals.
Yeah, it looks like he's a cockhead.
Yeah, so the main mask is named Richard. He wears a cockhead. And it is a very bizarre and very cool game. It's very violent, of course, but very addictive. And it actually had a really cool story. It was a very minimalist, cool storytelling that the original did. And yes, it was a man who took down the Russian mafia. And so the sequel that is just out, called Hotline Miami 2 Wrong Number, follows a year after the events. And it's like really neat how it ties into the original. The first off, there's a group of four guys called the Fans. So they like admire all the shit that Jacket did. So they made their own animal masks, and they go basically copycat,
right,
which is kind of a cool theme. And also there's scenes in the game that play out and stop right when they're beginning, really horrific, and it's like a movie set. And it so turns out that there's also a movie that they made about the stuff that Jacket did. Kind of the twist of it is that in the original game, Jacket was kind of like an anti-hero thing. In the midst of him doing all this stuff, he actually saves this drug addict girl from like a kingpin boss, and he takes her back to his apartment. And the whole time when you're playing the game, every time you're in the apartment, she's getting more comfortable. She's like, you know, it's like a home away from home. And in the sequel, the movie about Jacket, it's actually twisted around to where he's a psychopath and he kidnaps her against her own will.
Wait, and they make a movie.
A movie about the character in the original game.
About
the first movie.
First game.
But they make him to be like a despicable like serial killer. Yeah. Because, I mean, he did go around and murder a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Even though when you're playing the game, you're like the hero, quote unquote. Right. There's just lots of really cool storyline tie-ins, conspiracy theories, like where the mask came from, who's behind the phone messages telling these people to, like, you know, kill people. It's really cool. I mean, what's cool is because of this really neat storyline, but it has this old school PC game pixel art storytelling. There's not like a, you know, like it's not a very cinematic. It's all done through just text and pictures and just nice little cool art. Love it. It's really fucking cool. Love it. Love it. The music's fucking awesome. It's a bunch of dirty underground Euro trash synth music, which is just if you're a fan of like 80s horror films or sci-fi films, it's like so good. Like, it reminds me of that movie Demons. Look at the whole soundtrack of that fucking... The whole soundtrack of that movie is like the soundtrack of this game. So, neat game. Check it out. It inspires this week's topic, which is something we've never tacked into. And the topic is, does extreme fictional violence disturb you? And do you feel there is a correlation to real violence? And that's actually something that ties into a lot of people over the years with video games of, you know, lots of parental groups basically saying that, you know, video games cause violence within children and all that kind of good stuff. Same thing with movies, music, the violent music, violent movies, violent video games can condition young, able minds to kind of go down that dark path. This game kind of doesn't tackle those issues directly, but it kind of, you know, it has got a lot of, like, heat within the game press, because some people think the game has gone too far and all that kind of good stuff. So it brings up the question, does excessive violence, fictional violence disturb
fictional
you?
Fictional violence.
And is there a correlation to real-life violence? Answer, of course, for fictional violence disturbing me is absolutely not. I'm a huge horror fan, huge action movie fan, and I think just from an early age watching horror films at a very young age, we've talked about a lot on the podcast, I've just been told that it's not real.
It's
ketchup! It's makeup! And I think it just also accompanied by the fact that hurting people is wrong, which ties into the whole, you know, does it correlate to real violence? It's like, it does depends on the person. If you're taught at a young age, if you're built up a moral compass of, you know, doing good to people, the golden rule, you know, doing others as they do to you, as long as you don't go hurting people, whatever, then, you know, you have that instilled in you, then you know better not to inflict that kind of violence. No matter what you see, it doesn't influence you. Now, an impressionable mind that hasn't been given those, you know, rules or standards, then of course it's like, you know, it's being you're a sponge. You learn whatever you see, and if there's not someone to say this is acceptable, this is not acceptable, then, you know, that's what happens. So I guess the key to it is how impressionable is a person, young or old? I mean, because there's older people who are extremely impressionable. They were just borderline sociopathic, and they just don't realize what they're doing is wrong. And usually the people that they try to tie a crime or some horrible violent act with a game or with a movie or with music is because they're impressionable and they just didn't ever have that social barometer. You know, that's usually the case. So, no, I'm not bugged by violence. And me personally, no, I don't think it correlates to real violence unless they're just an empty shell that hasn't been raised right or taught right or whatever. So
I've talked about this in a past podcast, but I used to not be. And then I became a dad, and it actually started really bugging me. And it's a weird, weird feeling. Like, you talked about the movie Serbian film. Have you ever seen a Serbian film? Did you say you know about it? Right. Okay. We talked about it on the podcast in the past, and I refuse to watch it. I mean, it's child rape and
the baby,
you know,
scene.
The newborn porn, as they call it. You know, I know it's spoilers and it's awful, but I mean, it's what the movie has in it. And I fucking, I don't want to see that shit. You know, before I had kids and when I was, you know, fucking Faces of Death and all that, you know, I'd watch it and be like, oh, it's fucking brutal. That's fucking crazy, man.
Yeah.
You know, but now that I have kids, it just, it weakened me. Like, even serial killer books weakened me. So does it disturb me? Now it does. I mean, I can watch. It's the sad fact and the hypocritical fact of just the type of person I am now. You know, I could watch a dude get his head blown straight off like an adult male and fucking be like, oh, it was crazy. Like, you know, if it's fake, right? But if they do it to a kid, like the scene that Necrophagia repeats over and over on from the Beyond, of that little girl getting shot, even though she's a zombie, it still kind of fucks me up a little bit. I don't like it. It bothers me, even when it's, you know, dramatic and not exploitive like a horror movie. Do I think it has correlation with real violence? Yeah, I actually do. I'm not trying to be Tipper Gore or anything like that, but I have an example of my cousin when he was 4 years old and his sister was 10, and my aunt and uncle were really good parents. You know, they're very strict, taught morals, allowed all of us to, like, you can watch this, but you know what's wrong, just like you were saying. But straight up, he grabbed a knife that was, you know, what we thought was out of reach. He grabs a knife. My cousin, his sister's laying on her stomach with her legs, you know, just folded, like, you know, like whatever. And he grabbed his knife and he said, I'm Leonardo, and slashed her legs up because Leonardo had a sword. This was a big knife. It was a sword. And the truth of the matter is he wouldn't have done that as a 4-year-old who's never seen television before.
Right.
You know, so I as much as I am anti censorship and it's our job to teach, you know, you don't do that. But like, I teach Gunner, he has toy guns. I'm like, do not point that gun at me, even if it's a toy. I'm like, you don't point guns at people, you know. But the fact of the matter is, you watch TV, they're pointing guns at people. Yep. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get it. And so I think it's one of those things that, there's just a Charles Manson quote that he told to Geraldo on his interview was, you know, the media is the reason why there's a lot of really fucked up shit. I mean, fucked up shit exists, sure, but Nancy Reagan can't come out and say, don't do drugs. And the kids are going, what are drugs? I didn't know I couldn't do them. I want to do them now because I didn't know I wasn't supposed to. Now I want to do them. That's my opinion of it. Charles Manson. Yeah. Listen to him. Smart.
That guy knows what he's talking about. Yes. That guy knows what he's talking about. Yes. Huh? You know, he's got a lot of wisdom there.
Yeah.
Does extreme
the woman?
Does extreme fictional violence disturb me? I think to a point. Yeah, it does. Like you're talking about. I don't know about the movie you're talking about. That sounds pretty awful. And I'm sure had I seen it, it might be a little disturbing.
Social critique on the Serbian government.
Okay. I'm a big fan of not watching horrible things. Larry and Jess know this. Yeah. I try to not partake in any. Even like funny, horrible porn videos.
Those are farts.
Didn't even watch cake farts. Like the whole
but in all fairness, it's real.
No. I know. I understand. Yeah. I understand.
Oh man, you're missing out.
Yeah. like the whole two girls, one cup. I don't know if that's real or fictional because that doesn't happen in real life. But
it's real, but it's staged.
There we go. Ooh, what's that?
It's like pro wrestling. Like Mankind really fell off.
That's where
they were. And
anyway, exactly. Never seen Two Girls One Cup. Don't ever want to, because I know that those kind of images, no matter what, will always stay in your brains.
That's fucking gross,
but
dude.
That's not violence.
No, I know, But what I'm just saying that. So sort of like violence, this movie you're talking about, a baby rape or something, sounds awful. I'm totally glad awful. I don't have any idea of what that is.
You do now.
Well, you have the same idea that I do. You just know it exists.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Then Larry used a good term where he said it weakens me mm-hmm. when I see that. And they've done studies to where it shows that seeing violence, hearing of violence, just reading it, the idea itself will physically weaken you. It will actually have a physical effect on you. So I do think it disturbs me slightly, but like everybody, I mean, I love myself a good head getting blown off. Yeah. You know, if it's fictional, I love a good person getting torn up. That last, you know, Walking Dead, people getting ripped up and stuff. Yeah. Good junk. I enjoy that. But yeah. I think there is a point where it goes. As far as correlation to real violence, I'd say 95% no, but 5%, yeah. If you have someone who has raised their whole life not even knowing what a gun is, and you put a gun and an apple in front of them, like, they're probably going to want to eat the apple. You know, they're not even going to know what to do with the gun. Mm-hmm. But having kids grow up, me and myself, dude, I was back in the day when you could buy toy guns that looked like guns, man. Yeah.
Without the orange tip.
Yeah, no yeah. orange tip. God, there was this one I got from Toys R Us. It was made of metal, and it clocked. It was a... Automatic. It was amazing.
And they had plastic bullets that you could put in. The metal ones would fit too, but it came with plastic.
It was a cap gun, but man, looking back, that was a real freaking looking gun.
Yeah.
So, you know, I grew up with that. You know, I understand, and you grow up watching movies where you're seeing guys holding guns, and you know what you're supposed to do is you point it and shoot it, and you know.
But you're an adult now.
Yeah, you point the business end at somebody, and you pull the trigger. So I do think there's a slight correlation to violence. I don't think. Me having grown up watching makes me want to be more violent.
Right,
but I do know that there is a slight correlation to where, like you said, oh, I know what a gun is. I know what, and I got
pro wrestling, dude.
Oh, yeah. It's you're going to imitate it. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just, yeah, I think there's a slight correlation. That's me.
Tyler Lutz.
What?
I said Tyler Lutz.
Oh, you said it so gentle.
I think he said Tyler Lutz.
Tyler Lutz.
Continue with the subject.
So my example for this, I'm mostly desensitized. I love horror
yes.
movies.
Yeah.
I think our whole generation and the generations to come are just going to get more and more desensitized yeah. with the types of movies that are coming out.
Absolutely.
I mean, my dad sat me down. We watched Predator when I was like 6 years old.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This movie's badass. You got to watch it.
Damn, was he right.
Stuff as I grew up never really bothered me, and then horror movies just started becoming comedy to me.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because they were so bad, but they were so extreme at the same time, but that never really bothered. The first time I ever was extremely offended by something violent was when I read American Psycho, the book. The movie is hilarious.
Yes.
And the violence does not bother me at all.
Are you talking about the rat and the PVC pipe?
Just the...
I was just about to say the gerbil tube and the electricity. Yeah. And you don't know if it's real or not, but... he's talking to you as if it's real. And I listened to it on audiobook, which was even worse.
Who read that?
it's just some mild-mannered dude that sounds like a normal guy, you know?
That makes it creepier.
And just worse. to make him just like
guy around.
And it was when I drove to work in the morning, so I'd go into work just like pissed off, like, fuck this day. And that scene, I remember, like, it was so visceral the way I felt. I was driving, and just my whole body was like, oh, my God, I've never felt this about something like that.
Yeah.
And what makes it real, more real is see the way the book – in the movie kind of does it. The book, before it goes to these scenes, it would describe in great detail, like, normal routine – but also like real existing world stuff like Coca-Cola or real life products in extreme detail. It would explain normal life. So when it gets to the real gross stuff, it makes it that much more
real.
Yeah, the benign album reviews.
Yeah.
I skipped those chapters. I was like, this is unnecessary.
Yeah.
Cause you already know what's
happening. Yeah, exactly. From the movie. Yeah.
And I'd seen the movie multiple times and then I was like, maybe I should read the book. Cause you know, I don't know what it's going to be like. And it was, the most disturbing thing I've ever read in my entire life.
No, they passed away back in 98.
God damn!
Yeah, when I was in high school. you were an adult, Jess.
Yeah, an adult.
A grown man with a family and a house.
But kids in college.
They passed around as carbon copy of those pages you know, before I just like look on my phone scene? On the internet. But that scene, the gerbil scene from American Psycho, it's like, you know, have you read this? And blah, 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 it's crazy. And I barely knew what a vagina was. And so I was just like, that's how I got, that's how I learned about the birds and the bees from American Psycho.
Passage from American Psycho. Take your prom date home. You got a PVC prom
in a gerbil.
You're ready for this? It's like, it's going to be magical.
I've heard that this hurts for you guys, and I'm really sorry, but apparently this is how babies are made. Go, Mr. Muff!
And she doesn't know anything either, so she's like, okay.
Okay, do it. All right, do you have brie? No, I just have American cheese. Then we're not doing it right! You're still a virgin.
But yeah, so that was something. And that was like a few years ago.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, when I first listened to that book. And I think as I get older, like you said, you become more sensitive to things. Yeah. So when you're a teenager, you don't give a shit about anything.
Yeah.
But I don't know about being a dad. Apparently, you become a big pussy when you're
a giant pussy. Giant pussy.
But
SVU.
I get it, though. Yeah. I get it now.
It sucks.
Giant, like, sopping.
Sopping pussy.
Weak, fucking poundy labia pussy.
Yeah.
But as far as it, you know, affecting real life, it obviously happens a lot in our society, but it's just dumb people.
Yeah.
Dumb people. Children are dumb people.
All your arguments are correct. They didn't know any better.
Exactly. Right?
They just see it, and no one's taught them otherwise yet. That you don't expect a 4-year-old to do crazy stuff like that.
So. Stupid dumb people.
Just kidding.
Fucking dumb people.
God. That's all it is.
Andy.
Yeah.
Speaking of dumb people.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
And I'm up. I guess my views are a lot like y'all's. I think it's, as far as am I affected by it? No. Mm-hmm. I have a firm grip on reality for the most part. Yeah, at times. You know, I enjoy violence, especially like, you know, trauma flicks and stuff like that.
Yeah,
the funnier it is, you know, the better. But I think it's situational, you know, if it's kids or, you know, old people who watch Fox News, they shouldn't, you know, be seeing stuff like that. Imagination and reality blend together for them.
Right.
And so they create their own reality. Mm-hmm. And so if they're inundated by this, then yeah, that's going to be a problem. But that being said, correlation is not causation.
Wow.
Just because it correlates with it, that's not the cause of it.
Yeah,
the cause of it is the fact that maybe you shouldn't be letting your kids watch this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should be directing them to a more, you know, useful proceeds. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, every kid's impressionable.
I mean, on a lower scale, one of Gunner's favorite shows was Sanjay and Craig. Have you ever seen Sanjay and Craig on Nickelodeon? It's, you know, the Ren and Stimpy genre, you know, kind of gross out humor and stuff. And I was okay with it, and you know, I was even okay with the "you smell like a butt," you know, like that kind of joke. And he didn't know that before, but I'm like, it's crass humor, and like I can handle it. But they're like eating styrofoam and fucking—I mean, not that specifically, but just doing really stupid shit and laughing at like, oh, I'm getting electrocuted because like, you know, whatever. Yeah, but it's a cartoon. It was a cartoon, and. I was watching it once and I was like, this is really, there is no, I mean, obviously there's not going to be any educational anything from this. Yeah. And I get it's just gratuitous, but I don't want him to be rude and learn how to be rude and dangerous. And so, yeah, like he knows, he's like, I can't watch Sanjay and Craig. That's like his whole thing. I don't watch Adventure Time.
John Frufalusi, that was his quote when like he saw him say it in person. He's like, I made the cartoons I made because it's a simple rule that kids love boogers and farts.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. That's like the way, that's the reason why he created those cartoons. It was, he was already like that, his sense of humor, but when he was like, I'm going to create this cartoon for kids.
And I'm fine with boogers and farts.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with boogers and farts, but they were doing crazy shit.
Yeah.
And like, you know, jumping off of hills and like, you know, like purposely, it's like, are they fucking, they want kids to hurt themselves and stuff? And it's because Gunner was trying it and
teaching you to be a badass.
Yeah, exactly. Be a badass. Fucking jump Springfield Gorge on your fucking skateboard. You know? But then when your dad stops you and he goes in an ambulance, I'm learning, okay, I'm not gonna fucking do that because look what happened to Homer.
So wow. Context is an interesting thing, too, because related to kind of, not related directly, but this game, Hotline Miami, it got steamed for being really violent. Because it's the whole game, you're killing people with guns and knives and hammers and like just tons of weapons. And it's really graphic, even though it's just pixel art. It's really detailed. Like, mm-hmm. you really get to see it, and the sound is like kind of real. Now, that game is getting, like, for the most part, it's critically acclaimed. People like it, and they like what it does. Now, on the other spectrum, there's a game called Hatred that just got tried to get kickstarted. And Hatred is a straight-up picture
Fuck.
Nathan Explosion in a trench coat saying, "I hate everybody, I hate the fucking world, time for the killing to start." And he goes out his front door and just murders everybody. Like,
oh, wow.
Like, just like Postal.
A James Huberty kind of fucking, I'm going to McDonald's and killing the world.
But yeah. So it's like GTA where you can already do that.
Do that.
But the whole plot is just
hatred.
It's just
hatred, yeah. So that's the whole thing is people are like, why?
It's brutal,
why are
people,
but when it came out, people were like, this is disgusting. Because when the trailer came out, it's this, like, picture Nathan Explosion,
yeah.
knife, gun, and just murdering people, right? Just and when he's murdering people. Them, and they're like, no, they're like begging for their lives. They're like, no. You know, and cops, women, like people.
That's just not necessary.
Kids? Kids well, in that
what,
game?
What made it fun in GTA is you weren't supposed to do that.
Yeah. 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 And so that's the whole thing that
can
people
you kill
were
kids
like,
in that game in Hatred?
No, I don't think so.
I'm playing it then.
Boo. Yeah. So that's the whole like the debate.
I'm a hypocrite. I told you guys.
What about dogs?
Not dogs, huh?
The defenders of that Hatred game would be like, well, what's the big deal? Because you can do it in a game like, why is it like Hotline Miami? It's like a critically acclaimed, and you're just killing all these people. And in this game, it's being like booed on, and it's like it's context. Like, you know, Hotline Miami kind of has a, well, one, a story, you know, yeah. and it has like this, you know, mystery, and it's also criminals, but there's also repercussions for the violence in the game. You know, there's all that kind of stuff. Whereas this game, you're just murdering people with zero context other than the fact that
you
humanity
hate the world.
Sucks yeah. and you hate the world.
Yeah.
And the people that made it, they're just like, it's a to blow off steam. It's a fun game. That's all
yeah.
they don't see anything.
They
wrong
just
with
shouldn't
it.
Have called it Hatred. Because that just makes it evil. If they called it Poop Fart, people would be like, hey, man,
yeah,
play
fucking
Poop Fart. It's just this game where
yeah.
this Nathan Explosion guy, you kill everybody. Haha, cool. But they call it Hatred.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
like,
what are the graphics like?
Well, Hatred's a realistic, like a 3D
See,
rendered.
But
it's a top down game, like an old school shooter.
I'm Googling.
But it's 3D, so when he's doing the executions and stuff, it's close
okay.
up, it's really detailed.
I was
going to
say,
really,
the
you
game
know,
you were talking about earlier was more stylistic.
Yeah, it's very right. stylistic. And, like, you know, it has this very, like, 90s, like, neon, you know, and plus with the synth music, it
yeah.
kind of makes it feel like a horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's why. Whereas this game, like, people feel it's, like, simulated violence, and then that's the kind of, like, toss up. I thought that was just kind of an interesting thing in us, you know, talking about this game and violence in the topic or whatever. But
yeah.
What about Facebooks, man?
Facebookums. Ross Carter says violence in war and action movies doesn't bother me, but violence in torture movies like Saw makes me squirm. I guess I'm cool with violence as long as the victim has a badass sword or something. I don't think it incites violence in the real world, though. And of course, there can be Thugs in Harmony, and Busy Bone is my favorite one. What?
The question I said,
oh, you acted, yeah. Such as Thugs and Harmony? Oh, God. Nathan Garza says, wrestling is the sole reason I try to German suplex people when the situation calls for it. The opportunity never really came. So there you go.
He's not looking hard enough.
There's plenty of opportunities. Ian McIntosh says, while it can be disturbing, a correlation only exists if the person in question is already unstable. So.
Oh, yeah.
No. Travis K says extreme fictional violence is fictional. I know that sounds redundant, but that's what it is. It doesn't bother me personally because I know the difference between fact and fiction. The whole idea that violent video games and movies garner violence is null and void to me. People have been fighting, warring, and committing acts of violence since the dawn of time. As a matter of fact, I think that people who play violent games and engross themselves in violent movies may be less prone to violence in general since they have an outlet for their anger, rage, like you said on the Hatred game. Steam release.
Yeah.
I know if I want to punch someone in the face, I'll play some PvP games and feel better afterwards. But that's this humble idiot's opinion. Brian Powell says, I don't know about Thugs in Harmony, but Bone Thugs in Harmony is an American hip-hop group from Cleveland, Ohio. It consists of rappers Crazy Bone, Lazy Bone, Busy Bone, Wishbone, and Flesh and Bone. Is that all of them?
I guess.
Yeah, sure.
It was just a bullshit thing I added at the end.
And everyone was but he also says, extreme violence is fun to watch and part of human nature. I believe escapism at its finest. I do not believe correlation is causation, as I've been an extreme horror movie fan all my life and never dipped
anyone's head into a vat of acid or jammed an ice pick through someone's ear.
Yet.
Yeah,
yet.
I was about to say.
He puts, but
April 4th, BeardCon.
But God knows I want to.
Yeah, or at least throw a shoe in a vat of dip. Eat what? That shoe. You know, a cartoon shoe and Roger Rabbit.
Oh, don't kill the shoe.
That was disturbing.
Yeah. I'd rather watch a human face. Blair was doing a masturbating.
Sop it up. Sop up that acid.
Yeah.
Patty cake. Patty cake.
Disturbing.
Yeah.
Speaking of disturbing images, Maggie Castile Ivans says, extreme fictional violence does not disturb me, although after watching John Wick,
oh man,
I did make a comment about excessive violence. I could be getting old, or maybe watching Keanu Reeves kicking everyone's behind just doesn't do it for me.
Oh man.
Put them in Iron Maiden.
That movie's like Maiden. G compared to other movies.
Oh yeah, yeah.
No, but it's so good.
Oh yeah. Man. No, that movie's amazing.
Yeah.
Anthony Torino says, violence in all forms disturbs me. What makes it extreme violence? I absolutely believe the viewing of extreme violence in movies and games desensitizes us to real violence, subsequently encouraging some to commit violent acts without fully realizing the consequences.
Yeah, me and Brant were talking about like seeing real severed heads and real decapitated bodies, and they look fake.
Yeah. Because, oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
where did you see that?
I was with Brant Bumpers.
Show his trunk.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Saturday?
Yeah.
Just cruising. Check out my trunk.
And I was like, you showed me this last week, man. It's starting to stink.
Went to go grab a Big Red out of the fridge, and there's a couple severed heads.
Yeah.
It's like, don't worry, the county knows I got those. Samantha Lyons Rake says, most TV violence, movie violence doesn't disturb me. I know it's fake. The background music always cues when it's going to happen. I know people aren't really going to die or be hurt. I'm more disturbed by the stuff I read in the news. So as the correlation, I think violence in our society causes violence to be depicted in our pop culture, not the other way around.
Chin, chin.
Yeah. Gregory Pierce says... But
did you do the full?
Yeah, but everything's like real fucking metal.
It's real deep.
Gregory Pierce says, simple answer, no. Complex answer, I'm able to separate myself and as observer of media in such a way that I can be more interested in the effort that went into creating the effect than actually being disturbed by it. So I do think, however, that if a person is raised on disturbing imagery, it could have a psychological effect on their person, but only rarely would such things result in violent behavior. That's kind of one thing that sucks for horror movies now, having made, like, we make films and we've made videos and stuff, and so many times I'm watching a movie going, oh, I like the lighting here, or I like what they're doing right there, yeah. or I like that shot, yeah. instead of, and it totally takes, so it's really hard for me to get into, like, a movie, or like, oh, that was good effects, and And finally, Stacy Media says, I can watch movies with violence because I know it's acting. I find myself covering my eyes when watching boxing or UFC and MMA type things.
The hits that's because you're homophobic.
Oh, don't hit him!
Yeah, the hits and blood make me cringe. But I don't know, I get that because you know someone's really getting hurt.
You know what I developed over like the past, it was like 5 years ago, I guess it came to be, was when people fall, when I see videos of people falling on their ass or on their legs, I get a tingle.
Oh, it's amazing.
I don't know when that happened.
Wait, a good tingle? Or a tingle?
A tingle and a tingle, depending on how bad it is.
Like half a chub?
No, like a little chill. You know, the chill down your spine.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I feel that when I see like skating videos or people falling, not bones breaking or anything like
really?
That. But when people fall on their butt, I feel that chill up my spine. I'm like, ah.
I just saw one today where it says, don't lock your legs when doing leg presses. And it was this girl with a trainer, like, learning how to do these leg presses. And she locks her legs and it hurt.
No!
What's that sci-fi movie?
It was the worst, dude.
Arrival.
No.
They pop their knees backwards.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. I remember that shit.
The aliens.
Yeah, Mexican jumping beans. They were like illegal aliens. they jumped really fucking high. I was like, come on, man.
Is that what that was?
I don't know. I twisted that shit around. That's not what that movie was trying to do.
No, it was, bro. It was.
I am immigrants.
You're right.
It was. Mexican jumping beans because they jump really high.
Like, social commentary. Elysium, dude. Stone Oak and they're like, oh, they go to the north side because it's in the sky. Oh, no.
Fucking. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know the like Serbian film and like Human Centipede 2, those movies, I compare that to guys that eat like ghost chili peppers.
Yep.
It's just
yep.
it's just absolutely. Bullshit out daring, like let me outdo the previous guy. I can
gore
eat
for yeah. gore's sake.
Yeah.
Gross for gross sake. Just,
they should have a restaurant a Chinese restaurant with like a ghost chili Asian sauce and call it Hunan Centipede.
Hunan Centipede.
Hunan Centipede.
No, that's just that. It's an awesome sushi roll that has like, it's three sushi rolls starting from one to another, but like there's a one shrimp that goes in between all three of them. It's the Hunan Centipede.
Hunan Centipede.
Dude, make it happen.
Yeah, make that shit happen. I can go to Fujii and make that happen. Tell them to make that. Like, ask them to make. All I gotta do is ask them to make it,
yeah.
and then they, after you order it a few times, they'll say, "What do you want to call it?"
Hunan Centipede.
Oh, I'm gonna go to freaking
100%, 100% scientifically accurate.
100% scientifically delicious.
What you gotta do is you gotta chew the shrimp and spit it back into the next row. Everyone has to do that, so the last butt of the roll is just everybody's chewed.
That's just gross, man. That's
oh, gross.
Human centipede, dude.
I love it. I love it. So Hotline Miami and Hotline Part Miami 2, Wrong Number. These are both, they're fucking great. I love them. They're on Steam and also PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, and the PlayStation Vita. So
funny fact.
What about Xbox 360?
They skipped out on that for some reason. I don't know why Xbox didn't get down on that, because it's a neat game. It's really, really cool.
Funny fact, the game that you reviewed a few weeks ago in the rundown children's restaurant.
Five Nights at Freddy's?
Five Nights at Freddy's. Mikey saw that at school. Like there
oh,
were
really?
Some kid was playing that on a tablet.
Yeah, it's a
scary one?
It's a, yeah, mm-hmm. scary one. Yeah, that game went viral beyond just gaming. I think people yeah. who don't even game, I think it went into the
Yeah, she brought it up. She's like, my friend's playing this game called Five Nights at Freddy's.
It's like scary chicken cheese.
I was like, are you listening to the podcast?
So Hotline Miami. Yeah, I'm gonna look into that.
Part two.
Wrong Number.
Well, guys, it's time for another edition of my segment called Dad's Cornered.
Here we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch!
Yay!
All right, so any of you guys have kids? Tyler, you said no.
I got dogs.
You got dogs. Those are like children. Do you have any kids, Andy?
Yeah, I got two.
How old?
12 and 7.
Nice. Boy, girl?
Two girls.
That's Ooh. Awesome. I have a going to be 10-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son. My son's actually turning 5 on Monday. So 5 is a big age for me. I remember being 5. I remember my 5th birthday. I remember my first day of school. And a lot of things before this birthday I kind of shrugged off. When you have your second child, like your first child, everything's important and everything needs to happen. Mm-hmm. You need, doctor's visits and ointments and everything. And then when you get to your second kid, you're like, man, fucking just let
vaccinations. Fuck.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
wait till you have your third.
Yeah. There's no thirds, my
wait
friend.
Wait till you have your third.
Vaccinations again? Like, if he gets polio, like, fucking whatever, man. I
got vaccinated.
We have another one.
Exactly. My wife got vaccinated. We had him. He should already be vaccinated.
Yeah.
Like,
you should pass that
yeah,
on.
Come yeah, come on. We got it.
James, right? We're good, right? Black plague's fucking old, dude. I mean, measles. Gives a fuck. But no, a lot of things I passed off in his life because I felt that he wouldn't remember. Like his first, I know his first.
Like love.
Like quality time. Like, you know, it's just like. Hugging. It's like he's not gonna remember any of this shit, so why stick around? Yeah. Like, you know, I'll slap his mom around because it's not like he's gonna remember that.
Or absorb that and kind yeah. of, you know, act it out on
and
you.
Act it out. There's no correlation to that violence. I teach him what I'm about to do to your mother is wrong.
But you're not gonna remember this.
But you're not gonna remember this,
stupid little shit.
Fuck you.
No, they've shown studies.
It's fucking. I'm being
that
facetious.
Kind of trauma stays in mind.
Yes, I would. I would never hit Andy.
There's a book called The Body Remembers in which it talks all about trauma and how it.
It's a sequel to Everybody Poops, Everybody Slaps Mommy.
Everybody slaps mom.
It's the worst fucking children's book ever.
No, it
did not sell well.
that one's not the sequel to
Blueberry Award. It just didn't.
That one's not the sequel to Everybody Poops. It's the sequel to Todos Hacemos Caca. Like it's only the Mexican kids is, you know, Tomos Pega la Mama. That's what that one is. And it just shows his mom cooking and like smoke coming from a pot and a pissed off dad, pissed off kids.
Complaining because they're having beans again.
Because they're not having beans again.
Oh, okay.
They're like, I thought I'd be different and make spaghetti. Bean chipotle, how do you think we are?
Quinoa.
Where did you learn?
Quinoa.
God damn it. Quinoa. I would never hit my wife. She would murder me.
She would
murder me.
And not even in your sleep, just murder you.
She would murder me in between the dream and reality of right before you go to sleep, where I'm like, I'm dreaming this. I'm not dreaming this. And then
now she'd murder you while you're doing something enjoyable, like watching a movie night.
Yeah, yeah. She's gonna be like, let's get a sitter.
We're gonna watch Wolf of Wall Street.
No, we're gonna go. Yeah, exactly. Let's go to a strip club. I want to watch you with someone else, and then she slips some Cosby candy in my drink. And then I knock out, and then she fucking says that I got assault. Anyway,
yeah.
My son is 5.
Back to your kid.
And we were being silly, but I think he does remember all this stuff. Like we actually haven't taken him to Disney World. Like my wife has been wanting to go to Disney World since he was born, and I kind of like refused to when he was like 1 and 2 years old, because I'm like, he is not going to remember this. And if he does, it'll be like a smidget of his mind, and he'll remember maybe one thing, and that'll probably be because fucking some offside character scared the shit out of him.
It'd be a traumatizing
character. You know what I mean? Like, the wolf from Pinocchio scared the shit out of me. And now I can't stand that. So his birthday's coming up. He's really into stuff, you know, Hot Wheels and Big Hero 6 and comic books and superheroes and stuff. And I'm starting to see him form his own personality and the type of person he's going to be when he grows up, you know, and it's really kind of awe-inspiring. And so that brings up, you know, my question is, what is your earliest memory? And I mean earliest, even that smidget thing that we were talking about. And I remember being in my grandma's house. I was still crawling. Like, I have this memory. Like, I could talk to you vividly about kindergarten. Like, I remember days and Miss Holden, my teacher, and the time this one little girl wanted to see all of our peckers. And, like, I remember that kind of very vividly. It does stick. And, yeah, it was it happened. I've talked about it. Crayons. And, like, I remember being... I was crawling, so obviously I had to be older than when did I start walking? Older or younger than 6? I'm kidding. I was like maybe 1 or 2 years old, crawling. I remember feeling the wood and it being kind of splintery because you know when he had fucking hardwood floors, they were fucking wood; they weren't varnished or anything. And she had this mirror that flipped around, you know, those standalone mirrors. And I remember seeing myself. And kind of freaking out that I was in the mirror, and I go to pick myself up like I would like on the wall, and I just fucking fell right through, and I started crying, and that's all I remember. So that's why I'm afraid of my own reflection. So that's my earliest memory. I know it's not too interesting, but that's fucking pretty far. Like, you
do
know,
you
1 year old.
Those mirrors anywhere else but comedy movies?
Wow,
yeah. It's going right through that thing. It might not even be a memory. It might just be when I saw some fucking old Mel Brooks movie when I was a kid,
4 years old, and saw an old movie where those mirrors existed.
Yeah, and I was like, I remember that when I was a kid.
That was me. No, I was Han Solo.
You know what's creepy is when I was little, and I remember this when we used to pass the was it Tower of Life building?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I used to say I worked there before I was born. Isn't that fucking weird?
Yeah, you've said that before. Yeah,
isn't that weird? I've never been in that building, and I want to go just to see if anything like triggers.
The Pioneer it's like Flower Building.
No, I was the dude that jumped. No, I worked in the Tower of Life building apparently before I was born. And what if I'm living like some Chances Are thing? What if I'm fucking Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah, what if you're fucking sliding doors?
Yeah, dude. So anyway, what you guys? What
my earliest memory? And this is funny because maybe you'll hate me after I say this, but and the reason why I remembered it is because I'm like, this is deja vu. I remember this. The reason I remembered is because we've asked this question before on the podcast.
Have we?
Yes. Yeah. And it'll be interesting. See, what will be interesting though is litmus test is to see if our memories are the same on that episode. Now, I don't remember mine because I remember, what's my earliest memory? I thought of my answer and I go, wait a second.
I don't remember us asking that.
No, but, and then that's the whole thing. I was like, what was my earliest memory? Oh, yeah, it was this. Oh, shit. I remember this because I've been asked this before. So my earliest memory is I was born in 1977, 1980. That was the year of The Empire Strikes Back. And my first memory was being in a car, seeing that movie through a car at a drive-in theater. So that, like, it's not the exact movie, but see, when I see Empire, just those images of, like, you know, the asteroids and the fucking snow and, like, those things,
yeah.
Like, that's the earliest memory I have, being in a seat. Funny enough, one of the earlier memories a few years later, maybe a year later, would be being in a car seeing Heavy Metal, the movie, at a drive-thru. That was with my uncle. My uncle was babysitting me, and he was with his friends.
Cool uncle.
To go see Heavy Metal. So I saw Heavy Metal in a drive-in. I saw a lot of movies at the drive-in, apparently, as a kid.
I saw Godfather 3 when I was 9.
It seems like something I've said before, but only because it's one of those things that it's like a question that you're like, oh, what's my earliest memory? But I'm pretty sure it was Snake Mountain. Snake Mountain was the He-Man. It's where Skeletor lived.
Oh, okay, okay.
With the microphone?
Yeah, with the microphone.
I had that, bro.
Yeah, and I remember getting that on Christmas, and that's the earliest thing that I can remember, and it was amazing, and it was cool. I loved He-Man, and that just was the coolest gift ever at the time. And yeah, it had a microphone and the Snake Mountain thing moved. And yeah, I just remember
and
that.
It had a glove that was like a.
The spider? The spider, yeah, because you would grab. Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, so that was a good Christmas.
That was daddy.
It was a good Christmas. It was cool as hell. I just remember Snake Mountain. That's all I can remember. Snake Mountain.
Fuck yeah.
Awesome. My earliest memory is very similar to yours. Yeah. Seeing Batman in the drive-thru.
Nice.
I was 4 years old.
Nice. Yeah.
In 1989?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And
yeah, fuck yeah.
God, it's so weird. It's like, I remember we had a black Suburban and we're all just laying in the back and they had like the headphone things you had to plug into, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just, it was nighttime. I don't know. It's weird. You get like flashes of memories, right?
Yeah.
And the other one I was going to say was I was either 3 or 4. We were out, and all I can remember is like being in a field next to a lake, and we had a black lab, and I was playing with it, and the black lab just comes charging at me and doesn't stop and hits my legs, and I do a front flip and fall on my face.
And you remember that?
That's all I remember. And my dad, I asked my dad like recently, like, do you remember this like happening? He's like, yeah, that was so fucking hilarious.
It's confirmed.
Yeah, I was like, for some reason I remember that. I was like a little kid. But
yeah, I mean, I remember my grandma's neighbor, they had a chow chow, and I thought it was a bear. Like, and I remember they have a bear next door. And just think of the size of an unkept fucking chow just staring at you when you're playing in the /front yard because they had a corner house with no fence. And I just go around the corner and there it is just... I'm like, that's a bear. I'm going inside. Andy.
Well, let's see. Earliest memory, I had to been either 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe living in Oklahoma back before my parents moved. And I think it's maybe tied to the fact that we were getting ready to move. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why I remembered it. But the only thing from that I remember is eating the Pac-Man ghost ice cream.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With the gum lines.
Yeah. There was
Jess's shirt.
There was that and this neighborhood girl that I had a crush on. And
at 2 or 3?
Yeah, at 2 or 3. And I've loved Pac-Man and pussy ever since then.
Ooh, you're making my diaper tight, girl. You just that's, hear.
That's funny that you talk about that, because I remember when I was in pre-kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How old that is.
Right.
Four? Yeah.
And I remember talking with two of my guy friends, two of my boy, like friends that were boys, about like having a crush on one of these girls. And looking yeah. back, I'm like, what the, how? How did I even know?
Yeah, that? I had crushes on like older chicks when I was little. Like,
how old?
Like teachers?
Yeah, like but, 60, man.
Yeah, or like teenagers. Like, yeah.
like teenagers yeah. and, you know, I nice remember, employees of restaurants. And
I just
shit.
Remember liking, the, there was a girl in the class, and then there was a girl named Reagan. In one of my classes in kindergarten. In yeah. kindergarten, there's a girl named Reagan. And I was like, we're going to get married? Because that would be awesome. Like, I just remember thinking, like, we should get married.
And she was like, am I tired to be like that?
What? Why? Why?
Because, yeah.
Because, yeah. I don't like you like that. Solo.
Oh, when can we get married? What is even happening? What do you mean?
That's just a big monster.
Sorry. Here's something we didn't touch on last time that'd be interesting is that going through photo albums when you see pictures of yourself as a child, do y'all guys remember
taking that picture?
The memory behind that photo.
Never.
Is there anything like that? Never?
I do.
Never.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally do.
Yeah. I barely ever remember that.
Yeah.
There actually, there's one, and I, you know those streamers that people have? Just like that thin stuff that they just throw everywhere yeah. when yeah, they're yeah, party. Yeah. Uh-huh. I put that around my head like a ninja and had a little light-up sword. When you press the button, it lights the blade
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
I thought it was a Ninja Turtle.
Nice.
Yeah. And I got a picture of it.
John's dad, my cousin that helps us with tech at the night of PGSA, happening April 22nd through 26th.
Mm-hmm.
His dad was 19 when I was like 3.
Right on.
And there's pictures of me and him playing with like a water hose. And I remember having fucking the most fun day ever. And I remember it very vividly because I was like, I got to use a hose that my uncles use and I got to spray my cousin JJ in the face with it. And there's pictures of it. And I remember that very vividly. I have a fucking really good mirror when it comes to shit like that.
I said from topics.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. No, it's very true. I was just about to say, I was like, I don't remember shit from like 2 weeks ago, but I can remember shit from when I was a fucking kid.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's called early onset Alzheimer's.
Is that what it's called?
I mean, not really, but yeah.
How about when you were a teenager and you had a crush on your friend's older sister? That ever happened to you guys?
Friends, older sister.
They were usually pregnant.
No.
God damn it.
San Antonio. Friends, older sister.
Never had a crush, but always be like get that feeling of
brother. I'm trying to think.
Feeling flattered. Because if they're nice to you, then you get that flesh feeling.
I got that with my brothers, because my brother's 6 and 7 years older than me. When their girlfriends would come and then be nice, I'd be like,
I had crushes on my cousin's girlfriends that ended up becoming their wives. And they're like, I know them now, but I remember being a kid and being
my girlfriend.
And they're like, Larry, you're fucking 19 years old.
As far as pictures, though.
You're my girlfriend.
When it comes to pictures, though, I'd say like 90% of them I remember, but only because back in the day you only took pictures of memorable moments.
Right,
like,
gotcha. Yeah,
like now there's thousands of pictures of me, and I'm like, I don't know.
Well, that's
could be a topic in and of itself.
Like, be a better topic than this
digital
one.
Digital photography versus real
photography. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
I don't remember asking this question.
Yeah.
It was because Mikey remembered, and I believe it because I looked it up, Mikey remembered going to Disney World.
Oh, yeah, I just talked about that.
Yeah.
And to be fair, the reason why, and looking at it, the reason why maybe you didn't remember is because we recorded at the Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club and we had all the comedians answer this question. So it was actually almost a full year ago because it was at the March of Dimes benefit show.
Oh, that's right!
So it was all like Clifton and Cletho and...
Holy crap,
like,
wow.
Yeah,
so next
Roman,
year,
Blair...
Next year we're going to answer...
Everybody answered this question, all three questions. We talked about after the porn.
But I was hosting it.
Yes.
That's why I don't remember it. Yeah, because I wasn't there while they were answering because
answered your questions after the fact, and we recorded with your sister.
Well, I apologize, public access listeners.
No, that's good, but it's interesting. It's an interesting thing because it is because was your earliest memory in the fact that it was a forgotten. Yeah, it correlates. Nice. I allow it.
I'm sorry.
Let's see if we have some of the same Facebook answers.
Don't look at me like that. I'm sorry, Jess.
Jordan Worth Cobb.
Look,
it's okay. Is this the beginning of the end of this?
No.
Inner turmoil.
Jordan Worth Cobb says, watching Thunderball with my dad created my love of James Bond and for wanting to be a filmmaker.
Nice.
Cool. Ross Carter says, my third birthday, it was dinosaur themed and my friend Matt got me the Tinker Toys. Andy Salinas Garza, whoever that is, said, when I was two or three, I lived next door to my great grandmother. Every time I saw her in her garden, I'd knock on my bedroom window for her to come get me. Maggie Castillo Ivan says, watching Psycho on TV on our new color console. Wow. I was on mom's lap and I didn't close my eyes fast enough when Mrs. Bates turned around in the chairs. Scared and scarred for life.
So on your new color television, you watched a black and white movie.
I love it. That's great. That's great.
Yeah. Brian Powell says,
I think that's, yeah, that was, yes, that was purposefully done.
Travis K says, no lie, I have a brief flash of late infancy, sort of like you, Larry, of leaving the HEB in Kirby on a stormy night and being put to bed with assurances that the loud noises wouldn't hurt me. Or was that last week? Samantha Lyons Reek says, I was two and staying at an aunt's while my parents were at the hospital having my brother. Before they dropped me off, they gave me a stuffed monkey. On the last day I was there, my aunt's dog ate the monkey's face off. I got so upset, I had two of my aunts crying along with me. By the time my parents came to pick me up, we were all sobbing around the kitchen table while they tried to sew a new face on it. Aw, poor monkey face. Gregory Pierce says, sitting in a chair in the newly renovated room of my parents' house, around 1 or 2 years old, I have fleeting memories of the room being built, but this is the first moment I can think of where my current self-awareness took over. It's usually about that age. Yeah. And Stace Medina says, I remember playing outside my grandmother's house and the grass was patchy and there was stream toward the end of the backyard. I was four. So
that's fun. So, yeah, we revisited this. So I can't wait till next March when I ask this question again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I seriously don't fucking remember.
Yeah, no, but it'll be cool. What other memories do you, and like, what would be the first memory? For all you listeners out there who haven't listened to it, it's episode 74. You can get it at comediaagogo.com or restinpeaceloungegeeks.com. So, good episode. Good stuff.
Yeah, man.
Some remembering shit. Fuck it.
Some memories.
Remembering. Fuck it. Who cares? I don't remember.
You should do it every year, and then you can do a scientific journal.
Yeah.
And see, publish it.
This could actually start something. This is actually,
this could help when I become Memento.
Yeah.
I have short-term memory loss. I just listen to the podcast.
You remember all the stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe like 50 first dates.
Don't reference your old podcast. Just every year think of your oldest memory and see if it lines up.
Yeah, dude.
All right. So finally, my topic, today's topic of Hey, That's Not Funny, where I talk about stuff that's not funny, especially good old, you're talking about scientific journals. This comes from a scientific journal, it's a study done by the University of Chicago that talked about when hypothetical employers and professional recruiters listen to or read a jobs candidate's qualifications, they rated the candidates as more competent, thoughtful, and intelligent when they actually heard the pitch than when they read it. Even when the words used were exactly the same. So they liked the candidate more and were interested in hiring them if they actually heard them. So they had guys actually sit down and they'd read someone's resume, they'd read this pitch of something, and then have someone come in and say the exact same thing, posing as a different person later after different ones. And they would hire the ones that they heard much more than they would the ones that they just read. So literally on paper, they're the same people. But the people that actually got to read, had their resumes read or their pitches read were always chosen, more. So it's an interesting thing as far as like, getting a job when you actually get to go into the door and actually talk to the boss as opposed to just having someone have, just look at your resume. It makes a huge difference to be able to sit in front of them, talk to them, and actually read, your sort of resume to them.
Now, on this study question, were all of the candidates like well-spoken people?
Yeah, they actually had actors.
Okay.
Yeah, they had professional.
Because I could see the reverse of that happening if somebody's just like well versed, but they have like a stutter.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I mean? No, it says evaluators who listen to trained actors reading job candidates' written pitches out loud believe that they were more intelligent and wanted to hire them more than the ones who just read the written pitches. Right, okay. So, yeah, it has to be the same sort of written speech. But it just made me think about my topic question, which is, you know, being able to have a job interview. And that's a huge deal. And, and just thinking back about, like, what was the best and or worst job interview experience. And then second question is, did you get the job? So, Larry, he talks, in the question, he says, let's hear Regan brag about how good he is at talking and charming people.
Yeah, yeah.
So I will talk about this
and knock it out of the park.
This job interview that I gave 8 years ago to the City of San Antonio Fire Department to be, to run actually their video department, like actually to run their AV department, to actually make videos for them. And at this time, I'd just gotten my associate's degree from SAC in radio, television, film. Jeez. I had a great portfolio on video, and I applied for the job. And it takes a while. When anytime you're applying for a city job, it takes forever. And so finally, I got through, and I got a job interview. So I got to sit down in front of this panel of five different people that worked for the city fire department, and it was the most amazing job interview I've ever given. I was perfect, Larry.
Yeah, wouldn't aren't you?
I was freaking. I couldn't have you couldn't have given me the questions that they gave me a week before, and I would have come up. But the answers that I came up with, with the questions that they gave me were
with that
perfect.
Killer smile, man. Shit.
The killer smile. I was rocking a nice, you know, navy blue jacket with a tie. My articulation, my words.
To be fair, you do have a great voice.
Thank you.
He has a wonderful voice and a killer smile. And you know who knows that more than anybody? This dude.
Oh, yeah.
Him.
And Larry. Larry's second.
Yeah.
So, dude, here's me. I am sitting in this interview. Mind you, I also have a lineage of firefighters, and my grandfather's a retired firefighter.
And drying saliva on your penis during this whole time.
Listen, it gets here's why just the dry, point is the
saliva just drying.
Good luck in your interview.
History. I am
sop it up.
I am destroying this interview.
Yeah. Of course.
It is. I have them laughing, smiling. Every question they say, I am answering immediately with the perfect answer, right?
Perfect.
So that's why I asked the second question of, did you get the job? Which is no.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable, because I just know as a fact, there is no way that someone could have had at least maybe their resume was better, but there is no way they had a better interview than I did.
Yeah, no, this is a better interview. Hey, I'll do it for free.
No, this. So like I said, I have family members that work for the fire department. I have a cousin who's very high ranking, and I found out that they gave the job to like someone who knew some. It was one of those things.
Know. That's
it's.
Yeah.
And it was so frustrating. Now, mind you, it led me, had I got the job, I probably wouldn't be doing the job that I do now, which I currently absolutely love. I love my job more than anything. It's absolutely amazing. So, of course, everything happens for a reason. But good Lord, was I pissed off, because I was walking away from, I just remember that amazing feeling of walking from that interview, just like, man, I destroyed that. Like, I was just, holy God, there's no way I can't get that job. And so that's why I asked the second question. Did you get the job? I didn't. So that was the best and / worst for me job interview experience. So that's mine. Feel free to chime in.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I could follow that.
I've never had a job.
I was interviewing for a sales position with Ken's 5, the television station. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, just out of SAC, you know, radio, television, and film, you get the business, you get the sales and all that sort of stuff. And I was in telemarketing sales, so I had a sales background, but, you know, wanted to do door-to-door. I was just kind of tired of the phone, the call center life. I went in literally for
5 interviews.
Ugh.
Like, and I did good. I got along with the guy. We were talking about sales pitches. I talked about how I wasn't a pushy guy. You know, I really sold the product, and I didn't just kind of give an empty pitch selling widgets. I cared about what I was selling. That's why I was here. You know, if this was like a vacuum cleaner salesman job, I wouldn't be here because I don't give a fuck about vacuums. I think advertising is important, all this sort of shit. Then they had me take personality tests.
Ooh.
Right. Which was like, okay, I'm just going to be honest with this one. Like, you know, and they were weird. They were like, you know, if your best friend robbed a store, right?
Oh.
And you know, you found out about it and it ended up being a store that you were affiliated with, would you turn your best friend in? And it like multiple choice questions.
What'd you say, dude?
Huh?
What'd you say?
Well, I wanted a job, so I was like, I would definitely turn in my best friend, you know. Because, you know, the company, you know, comes first, and I would visit him in jail.
sorry about that, man.
You know, and like 5 interviews in, I interviewed with like 3 different people. Everything was good. And so then the offer came, and I kept asking about, like, I don't want to waste your time. And that was my passive aggressive way of saying, don't waste my time. You know, I understand that this is a commission job. You know, but what are the insurance? Because I have good insurance now. And, oh, you know, that's HR needs to talk to you about that. Okay, but what is it? Like, do you have an idea? You guys are in this department. What do you have, right? And so it took to the 5th interview for them to say that I would technically be a contractor and that I would have to get my own insurance.
What?
You know,
I seriously went, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I was like, God damn, you wasted the fuck. Like, I used all this personal time at the job I currently had. Because, you know, just like women, man, you don't jump the ship until you got another boat waiting for you, homie. So, yeah. You know what that's like, man. You fucking have a bunch
of
boats.
Probably thought you were overqualified coming from House of 1,000 Corpses.
Yeah, exactly. They were like, I don't know if people are going to want to buy stuff from you. Can I have a picture with you? So, yeah, that one was
that
like...
sucks.
Yeah, I just kept asking. I was like, look, can we just not beat around a bush and haggle? Just insurance means a lot. What are the insurance things? We have to get to the HR part of that in fucking 5 interviews later.
Jesus.
A bridge is burned because I flat out went, I'm sorry, I'm gone. I'm gone. Thank you all very much. Oh, well, you know, we can tell you what we have.
Oh.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Let me shake it.
Yeah. We're miming a jerk-off motion and making a fart noise.
Yeah.
Raspberry noise.
My interviews, job interviews, there's not many of them, but the most... The most
well, no, that
define laughs. Job.
That's good. Yeah, that's
because
good.
He keeps jobs.
Yeah, I only got like about 3 jobs, I think. Well, not including the part time, 5 jobs. I think I got like worked at 5 different places, including the place I work at now. I think. Let that's me count. Bad.
There was a time he had what 3 jobs at the same time.
Wow.
Best Buy, GameStop, Diamond Shamrock. I worked at JCPenney's as a stockbroker. That was my first job, and then I did this. You know those where they set up. Like convention shit.
Yeah.
I got like a
production.
Yeah. Temp production. Yeah. And they didn't like me because I wasn't fast enough or I wasn't inexperienced because they were like knew how to put these tents, like preset tents. So yeah, 6 jobs. The most memorable of the job interviews was the one for Diamond Shamrock, which is a former that doesn't exist anymore.
That's right.
It's a convenience store. Formerly Diamond Shamrock. That's what Valeros are here in Texas. So Diamond Shamrock, it was a store a few blocks away from my house. My stepdad, who would go there every morning for coffee, he's like, my son's looking for a job. And then the manager, Billy, wonderful guy, says, well, bring him on in. He's like, yeah, I probably got a job or whatever. Billy was just like...
Brush my teeth in the library. That's ridiculous.
He kind of had like a semi... semi-handlebar mustache, thin, like long hair in a ponytail, but just thinning really bad and just laid back, I think smoked and dipped. And yeah, just good old, just, so I come in for the interview and it's like the small Diamond Shamrock convenience store office, which is about, you can fit 2 people in there and that's it. It's like a really, it's like a chair with a desk with the surveillance monitor. Yeah, that's and that's important. All you got room for. So it closes the door. It's like one of those things, close the door behind you. You have to like move in the office up against him to close the door, and then I can back up against the door. It's a really small area.
It's a closet.
So he's just sitting in his chair.
He just described a closet.
Let's be honest.
It's a closet.
He leans back in his chair, like reclined, and it's one of those chairs that thing that was broken, so it reclined like all the way back, and he slid back in the way, and he goes, "So, you want to work at this place?" I don't know if that sounded funny, but to me, I in my mind, I was prepped for like, you know, coming somewhat out of high school, because this was right after high school. And
professional environment.
Yeah, and he's leaning back, and he's just like, the only thing missing from him being fully relaxed was him scratching his balls. And he was scratching his gut, but that's, you know, whatever. So, yeah, he goes, "So, you want to work here, huh?" And I'm like, "Yes, that'd be great. I'm about to go into college." And I'm like, just doing the whole textbook answer, about to go to college, and I'm a hard worker, da-da-da. Yeah, we got a shift, 6 to midnight. Yeah, that's pretty good for, you know, your schedule, right? You can probably do that, right? And I'm like, yeah, because I go to school during the day and da-da-da-da. And I'm just very into that. Yeah, you can work here. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mentioned before, there was a perk at Diamond Shamrock, and it was when the hot dog grill, when you come in at 6 o'clock, time to rotate the dogs, and those dogs you gotta rotate out, they go in the trash or in your belly, just as long as you write them off. Homeboy, that's perk number one that this guy told me.
Hell yeah,
perk number one.
That would Larry, be my perk number one.
Larry is talking about, like, oh, what kind of insurance you have. I walk in, he goes, "Well, here's the thing. First off, that's great. We got these hot dog machines. And when you come in at 6 o'clock, those dogs, you gotta go in the trash. So just as long as you write them off, you can have a dog. You can have two dogs. You can have three dogs. It's fine." That was perk number one with this guy. But before this, he goes, "You want to work? Yeah, you can work here. You can work a job here." Just like, come on.
Let me tell you about our benefits package.
Free hot dogs. All you can drink soda.
Is that all you can drink soda, man?
You can drink all. You brought your own cup.
Oh,
you brought your own cup.
I had it's a like rack space, man.
Yeah, you had
like
a 64-ounce cup. That I would put, you know, when they got the Paradise machine, half Paradise, half Coke. Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah, fucking heavy. Oh. Yeah, so that job interview in particular,
because
all the other ones fall that you give your answers, you're eager, you're wanting to please, da-da-da-da, all of them, all six jobs, except for this one, I came in eager, you can work here, sure.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, free dogs, perk number one, free hot dogs.
So, yeah, pork number one?
Pork number one.
Tyler, Andy.
My best interview was Rackspace.
Yeah.
Because that place is awesome.
Yeah.
Everyone's super laid back.
Was it the same as Jess's?
We got hot dogs at 6 o'clock, which there's always free food there. Yeah. And it's an amazing place to work at. Mm-hmm. So it was super easy, laid back interview. Easiest one I ever did.
Were you nervous, though?
Going into it, I dressed up.
Because I imagine, that's a great job. Yeah. Like, you want to, that's a killer job. Like, that's.
And it was hard to get in at the
time. Yeah, right? Absolutely.
So, I did two interviews. The first one, I was super nervous, but the two guys that interviewed me were super laid back, and they were talking about metal. Like, one of the guys was in a metal band.
Perfect.
And, talking about music the entire time. They just wanted to see
if you're cool to hang out.
Yeah. If you're a culture fit, then they train you on the technical stuff. Huh. So, once that interview was over, I was, you know, just really laid back for the second one, and same kind of questions. Nice. Just like, what's in your stereo right now, bro?
Well, first off, I don't have a stereo. I have a Zune.
Nice.
That's a thing. But if you apply for a technical position there, it's going to be a lot harder.
Sure,
but
sure.
For customer service, they want to see that you're, you know, culture fit.
Yeah.
But as far as like worst interviews, you know, I've just had mediocre interviews, like nothing. Like, I tried to get a job at Logan's Roadhouse once, and it was just like, I don't know. I screwed it up. I was like 18 years old.
Right.
It was dumb. But that article brought up an interesting point. Like, the actors, like, getting the best reviews, obviously, from the people that were, you know, looking at the applications. I would like to pose a question. Who would you have read your resume?
Well, me.
Larry is putting the microphone in his mouth.
Yeah. Like, I'd have Regan read mine.
Damn it!
God damn it, Jess!
You should have, Jess, you should have the guy that hired you at Diamond Shane after.
No, but you know what? I'd go with me. I have 100% success rate.
That's right.
Every interview I've been to, I got the
job.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
Andy, before you answered, I just, it made me think when you talk about Logan's and fucking it up. I had an interview. I completely forgot about this. This is in the recesses of my brain.
Yeah.
With Victoria's Secret. I had a nice. I had a buddy who was a stock boy there at their one of their mall locations.
He must have been a king.
Yeah, well, yeah, dude. He was just like, bro, these chicks are always changing and trying on bras and panties. Yeah. And at the time, I didn't give a fuck. It was like a seasonal job. I just wanted to make some extra money. So I was like, yeah, okay, I'll go. So I go in, and the lady's like trying to ask me about what I know about underwear. And I think it might have been like a ploy to be like, well, I understand that they're satin panties, and you know, you have to, you know. But I was just like, I don't know anything about women's underwear. I thought this was a stock job, and I thought this was a good thing. I went, they could be underwear, they could be cassette recorders. It really doesn't matter. It's just stocking and inventory to me, right? And she's like, okay, well, one of the jobs that you're going to have is steaming the negligees, because they come in very wrinkled in the packaging, so we need them steamed and stuff. So I want to see how you steam it. So she gave me this fucking nightie to steam.
Yeah, I'll steam it up.
And so I had to
sop it all over.
Yeah, exactly. So
I'll steam up your nightie.
Like, I was like, well, okay, I'll get the wrinkles out. So I dry fucked the nightie.
Didn't get the job. Yeah,
I was like, it was real weird because I was like, what kind of insurance do you have? She's like, get out! Like wiping her face. And I was just like,
That reminds me. I had a similar situation with the Babies R Us. I did. I applied for a stock job.
I didn't expect for that to come out.
I was just looking at Victoria's Secret.
Fucking a 90.
Experience. Babies R Us.
I applied for a stock job at Babies R Us, but they had us like trying to sell shit because we would be on the sales floor stocking things.
Yeah.
So they're asking all these like really awkward people like to sell things to them for the interview, and it's like, we thought we were just going to be putting boxes.
Yeah. That's what I said, dude. Yeah. I was like, I don't
sell this diaper set to me.
Yeah, right. I just got 56 boxes of these. You better buy one because they're going to sell out quick.
It's a diaper set. It's for baby.
You got a baby. It poops.
Your baby shits, right?
Well, where you hold the diapers.
This will catch it.
Andy. Stop them that shit.
Stop them that shit.
This one's actually really hard for me to answer because I've had the same job for like past 18 years.
It's called stability.
So, as far as best and worst, I don't really have a story. I know the one time that I interviewed before the job that I have now was for paint delivery. And so like it inspired me to go out and get a driver's license because I interviewed as a paint deliverer before I even had a driver's license. But the lady who was the manager liked me and she wanted me to have it. And so she's like, okay, well, go get your license and then go, you know, come back and then you've got the job. But you know, a couple days later, you know, she was also sitting there telling me about her clit piercings and everything. So I don't think it really mattered what I said during the interview. I would have had the job. But it was great because I could sit there and eat, you know, ice cream popsicles all day long. And
I thought it was great, man. Just sit there, eat pussy all day, and I can, you know, deliver shit. That's great, man. It's called stability. I sincerely thought that's what you were
going to say. I didn't for a second go, oh, he's going there? Your brain works very fast. Like, oh yeah. Eat popsicles. Popsicles starts with a P as well.
So what about the Facebooks?
Facebooks, Brian Powell says, I had an on-the-phone interview for a call center that I bombed. I forgot about the interview and wasn't prepared when she called. I had a minor panic attack, became short of breath, and was wheezing through my answers. I never received a call back. Aw. I've never had a phone interview.
For my current job, yeah, I had a phone interview.
You had a phone interview?
Yeah. I actually had to be politely persistent in calling them back and asking them the status, and that's how I got the job.
Oh, damn. Oh, nice. I had like an interview for a friend as a reference. I always feel bad that I'm going to fuck it up for them.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I was wondering about Skype interviews these days. Like, that's a thing. Like, people have Skype interviews. It'd be interesting.
Just open it with.
Oh, I'm worried about what's in the background.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
And if they're wearing pants,
that's a thing. Ross Carter says, in high school, one of my friends worked for Vector Marketing. You know, the door-to-door knife sales company. And I guess he gave me his number for referrals. I got a call from them and didn't really understand what they wanted, but went in anyway. I was the only one in jeans and a t-shirt. And when I got called in, the dude asked why I'd be a good fit for the job. I told him I didn't even know what the job was. and he yelled at me for wasting his time. I ended with, look, dude, you called me, and stormed out the door. I started the next Monday. Yeah! he says, okay, that last sentence was a lie.
Oh, no.
That's good, though. Awesome. Very good.
That would have been the best story.
Tyler Lutz. Says hi, future Tyler. This is past Tyler. Hope you're having fun on the podcast. That was five hours ago.
Tyler, you're great. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what anyone says about you.
Way to put that on the third question.
Yeah, dude. Well done.
Very good.
Oh, that just made my jaw hurt. That is hilarious.
Yep, like.
And what's great is his fucking profile pic. He's in an astronaut suit.
First beard con.
I didn't catch it. That's what I was like, wait, Tyler. Tyler.
Brilliant.
Yeah, well played.
Very good. That would have been scary if you would have put like sop that pussy.
Yeah.
That would have been freaky.
That'd be
terrible. I know.
Jun Jun. Yeah. It follows.
You make me so hoppy.
There he goes.
Moving on. Travis,
he's so soppy.
Sop that hop.
Travis K says, my worst job interview was when I applied at a shipping company. I barely got there on time, and when asked why I wasn't early, I explained that I had just come to San Antonio from San Marcos after having to change my major in college. The interviewer asked me what I had changed, and I said I changed it to English. She proceeded to write out a sentence and asked, what's wrong with this? Ugh. I couldn't answer, and she said, it ends in a preposition. I hate that. She was pretty cold to me the rest of the interview. To this day, I still don't know what effing dangling participle is, but I did get that job. As to how I did it, you have to use your imagination. She really needed the help. Right. Yeah, he didn't.
P and V.
Yeah, P and no. She really.
What did she say?
Dick and puss. did the interview have dick going in the puss?
Yeah. A few podcasts ago, and I could not fucking.
That's how Jess describes it.
Dick going in a puss.
He doesn't say sex. He only says that.
Dick and puss.
Fuck like you're like good at it.
Boots. Dick and puss. Yeah. It's a Disney movie.
Dick. In puss. Jin Jin.
Hey, man, it's a good movie, man. Just like a little dick in a puss.
Yeah. Travis K. also says, also kick me the next time I miss a round of answering podcast questions. It sucks to miss out.
Yeah, I'll kick you.
All right. Joy McCormick. Joy McCormick says, why would you be great for this sales position, Joey? He says, I think we ourselves are the product of our own lives. Technically, I'm selling myself to you right now. Tool bag of an answer. I did not get the job.
I hope the interviewer went, come on. Fuck you, man.
Fuck off.
You know what? I could tell you to fuck off because you're not an employee here.
No, HR is going to get upset with that.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Andrew Deal says, hey, future Tyler Lutz, this is present Andy. That thing you are going to say is very funny.
And what are you
going to
say, Tyler? Say it right now.
Stop it up!
You say it like the 80s.
I want that to be like the ShamWow. Like, stop it up! Like, oh, you spilled that wine. Soda on the carpet. Stop it up. Right now,
from Kenner.
You need two soup stoppers for the extra additional shipping. Don't you hate it when you spill that soup?
Don't you hate it when your beard is falling through your beard? Well, why don't you get this new poly beard made out of squeeze your beard? Stop it up.
Is that bowl of soup too much for you?
Amazing.
You want to save it for later, but you don't have any Tupperware? Sop it up!
But it just,
order now!
It's Joe Satriani playing in the background.
Well, Andy, you were so very right. The thing Tyler said was very funny.
I know why. Anytime, that's your catchphrase from now on. Anytime. Hey, Tyler, man, catch some waves with us this weekend at the beach. Cool, man. Slap it up.
What am I supposed to do with all this gravy? Pyros is too gravy.
Pop into the screen with some biscuits.
Slap it up.
It applies to so many things.
Yeah, I'm so wet. Sob it up.
We just passed a pop into the screen from different angles.
Sob it up.
Now at Tits and Biscuits. It's a new chain restaurant are opening.
Tits and Biscuits. Tits and Biscuits. Move over, Twin Peaks. Tits and Biscuits is coming.
Sop it up!
Here at Tits and Biscuits, we give you biscuits with every meal.
Extra gravy.
Sop it up!
Extra salami.
Oh. Well played, Andy.
Cheers.
All right, let's keep this going. Felicia Sandoval says, the boss read my driver's license incorrectly and called me by my middle name the whole time. Oh, that sucks. I never corrected him. Got hired. My middle name was sewn on my uniform. That sucks.
Good answer.
Worked there for 3 months before I told anyone. Oh, that sucks.
Chicks are dumb, dude.
No, that's a total dumb. No chicks do that.
She wanted to get hired, so she just was nice. Gregory Pierce says, best, went to a huge effort to get one of my first jobs as a teenager, suited up, got a cover letter and resume printed, and arrived early for the interview. After waiting nervously, I walked in expecting the interview for my job with the manager, only to find my friend... who informed me that I already had the job because he recommended me. Time wasted, but totally worth it. Yeah. Worst, anytime I've gone into an interview after a month of paperwork processing, waited 2 months, then received a generic rejection letter. Yeah, that does
that
suck.
Sucks.
Carlos Castro says, I don't mean to brag like Regan. He's future, Carlos. He's from he's all the future.
He's a robot. Like, he's already been there.
He's hearing this through the internet, through the iPad. He's the only person who can listen to this live.
He hacked in.
Yeah.
I don't mean to brag like Regan, but my charm, smile, shirt, and tie got me hired at Walmart after two questions at 17. The manager actually said, I like how you were the guy here in a tie.
I'm sold. You're the guy here. The guy.
Yeah, out of all the entire Walmart, he was the only person wearing a tie.
I applied for Walmart, did not wear a tie, got hired.
Oh, yeah.
They have a propaganda video about unions.
Wow. Wow.
I've seen some of those, yeah.
It's awful. And it's funny because the employees are worse than the customers. It's awful.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's terrible.
Sounds about
I'm
right,
a Walmart though. Customer. What is that supposed to fucking mean?
It means
man?
You're better than staff.
No,
that's not.
Oh, no, we got to spill all four. We need Tyler to stop it up!
And finally, Judson Cooper says, worst would be the vacuum pyramid scheme where a question in the interview was, so, how much money do you have to invest? Best is my current job. I walked in after responding to a Craigslist ad, and after about five questions, I started the same day. I've been there 2 years and don't plan on leaving anytime soon.
Because I'm locked in a cage. Because I'm sweatshop.
I'm a male escort. So that's it.
It keeps dripping on me.
My best interview was at Tits and Biscuits. They asked for my experience. I said, I don't know nothing about waiting. I don't know nothing about cooking. But if something spills, I'm going to sum it up.
So, yeah.
You're hired.
Yeah, bad job interviews. That's not funny.
No, it's not.
That's not funny at all.
So before we continue, the guys are going to taste Peruvian candy.
It's kind of like Peruvian lemonade. It's like a Peruvian lemonade. They have it at all the different restaurants. I thought everyone was drinking wine.
My review.
You get the citrusy lemonade thing, but what?
But it just tastes like SoCo or some shitty Jim Beam that's been sitting out on the bar for weeks.
Yep. Wow, that's what it was. I was thinking it was, what did I say last
apple
week?
Apple cider is what
I apple cider.
That's what it kind of
I got a Big Red with nutmeg in it.
That's getting way too deep.
I said apple cinnamon oatmeal candy.
No, it's shitty whiskey.
That's Andy, what would you say?
I just can't even get past the purple wrapper that it came in. I just taste grape.
Maybe it's just a
mental thing that I'm seeing the purple wrapper and I'm
weird is when I first tasted it, I was like, it looks like wine. It looks like grape juice. I thought everyone was drinking wine. And I was like, wait, there's kids drinking. And I was like, oh, kids are drinking wine. But then I ordered some. I was like, oh, it's made out of corn. And I tasted it. And yeah, immediately my brain went to apple grape. Grapples. Cinnamon grapples.
Cran apple.
Grapple cinnamon.
Yeah.
Grapple cinnamon Cheerios.
Statutory grape.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Modus operandi.
Yeah, dude.
God.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Well, guys,
it's not bad. Like, after you start sucking on it a little while.
Sure.
That's what they all say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suck it a little bit, get used to it, man, and come on to the 90.
Yeah,
we appreciate
the skin taste kind of goes away after a while.
Right, we just peel it back. You peel it back and you get all the smell.
Skin taste. That's a good name.
Skin taste. That's a new metal band.
That's a new metal band.
Yeah. You know? And our first album is going to be called
Chicha Morada.
Chicha Morada.
De los Muertos.
De los Muertos. We're gonna play a recorded like interview at Walmart, like in the background, and just jun.
So, how am I be playing the bass? Jun. What the hell are you seeing yourself in the next 5 years?
Jun.
What's your my best, Doc?
For skin taste.
This next song is called Brodus Operandi. Well, we appreciated you guys coming down here. Really excited about BeardCon happening April 4th at 502
yes.
Bar.
Yes.
And where can people find Animal Beard Club or yourselves on social media, guys?
Facebook, Twitter, or alamobeardclub.com.
Instagram.
Instagram, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All that stuff.
So, as you guys remember, because you've been on the podcast a few times, Public Access is an educational program. So, at the end of every podcast, we ask our guests and we ask ourselves, what did we come to know? After doing this podcast all this whole night, what made us come to know something different about ourselves, about life, about just things in general? So, you guys ponder on that. Jess.
Yes.
What did you come to know?
I just came to know. Like right now, that Chicha Morada tastes like shitty whiskey.
Yeah,
I do not drink alcohol, so shitty whiskey tastes like Chicha Morada.
It makes me
want vice versa.
Drink whiskey now.
Yeah,
no,
like this. Yeah.
No, nay.
I like it though.
What I came to know is that now anytime I want to exude happiness and show people that I'm having a good time when everyone's yelling, woo, and all right, I'm going to just be the only guy yelling, stop it up!
I'll be yelling spring break and you'll be yelling stop it up. I don't care what time of the year, spring break rules.
Hopefully we get that started. Hashtag sop it up. Right, guys?
I came to know that something that needs to exist now in this present world that we live in is the Hunan centipede sushi roll. That just has that. I came to know that we need to make that happen. That needs to happen. I need to eat the Hunan centipede.
Yes.
Shit.
100%. Scientifically
feed.
Delicious.
Yeah. Feed! Like,
yeah,
again.
When someone's eating, yes!
Yes! Feed!
Hell yeah.
Tyler.
Sop it up!
That's all you got to say.
Andy, what'd you come to know?
I came to know I'm not going to go out and eat sushi with any of y'all.
No, you don't want to know where it came from. Well, guys, we appreciate you coming on the podcast once again. Like I said, we're very excited about BeardCon on April 4th. Very excited about the King Williams Beard Contest on April 25th. And I'm really even more excited that we made lifelong friends with you guys. And I can't see what future Tyler is going to tell past Tyler next time. We know what he's going to say. What's he going to say?
Oh, man.
You should have paid your bills.
Yeah, damn it.
How true.
Yeah, that's true. Well, guys, thank you all for tuning in. Jess, what do we have coming up?
We have our San Antonio folks and people in the South Texas area, a night in Pinche S.A. at River Center Comedy Club, the week of Fiesta, April 22nd through the 26th. It'll be fantastic. Lots of good stuff. Wednesday and Thursday will be a 8 o'clock show, and Friday and Saturday will be an 8 o'clock and a 10 o'clock show, and Sunday will be an 8 o'clock show. You have plenty of opportunities to catch this fucking amazing, lots of fun show. We're going to have some new videos, some classic live bits, some new live bits, and it is going to be a rock and roll awesome show.
Fun.
Quite fun. Thanks for listening to us on oneofus.net. It is lots of fun. You can get our older adventures, like episode 74, at comediaagogo.com, and you can answer our questions on our public access Happy Campers Facebook group. That's where all of our answers are. We love to hear your answers. Lots of fun. Twitter at ComediaGogo, hashtag public access. Thanks a bunch, guys. Love it, love it, love it.
And don't forget, guys, like we said, I'm going to be hosting the BeardCon 2015, April 4th, through the 502 Bar. We are starting at what time?
Doors open at 7. Competition starts off around 9-ish.
Around 9-ish. So if you want to join a contest, $15 if you just want to go and look at all the handsome men in beards and very cool artsy women in fake beards. That will be $5 at the 502 Bar. Also, April 8th, we're going to have our 5th annual March of Dimes show with Claudio Rodriguez, Bobby Henline, Raul Sanchez, Anthony Chirino, Raymond Orta, hosted again by myself with my CAG brothers. Next day, April 9th, you heard the podcast last week with Susie Hamilton. Stars and Garters Burlesque will be at the Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club with past cast.